Let's look at Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. It's an interesting event which takes place here in this chapter, and there's a young man that is running into trouble, and of course, he does some of the right things, I suppose we'll say. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is that, is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put on for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Sure that the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of His Word as we look at this interesting event in the life of a man. Here's a fellow that's kind of gotten himself into trouble. Just before this, he made a deal with his brother. You'll remember his brother came in one day and he was awfully hungry, and he said to him, he wanted something to eat. Give me some porridge. And Jacob makes a deal with him. I don't know whether you boys do that with your brothers or not. Your brother wants you to give him something, and you want to make a deal with him. So you want to get something back. Well, Jacob did that. He was an opportunist, I suppose. Jacob seemed to be a fellow that was always looking for a good deal. And so Jacob was able to receive the birthright, which belonged to Esau. And Esau was willing to sell it for a mess of porridge, and Jacob was willing to buy it. He was willing to purchase it. Well, there's one thing about Jacob. He had an eye for that which would be a source of blessing in his life. The birthright was it was a special privilege that God had given to the firstborn, that is, the oldest son in the family. And ordinarily, he would receive a double portion of that which of the inheritance. And so Jacob was laying hold of this. You know, there's a lot of times whenever young men, young women, older men, and older women, too, for that matter, they have no concern about the blessings of God. But Jacob wanted this, he wanted this portion of the firstborn. And so he made the deal with his brother. Later on, there was an event which took place. The daddy sent the older son, Esau, to go out to the field and kill some animals and bring him some venison, he said. That meat which he loves so well. And you remember, the mother got in on this one then. Jacob was kind of mama's boy, some people think, that maybe she was her, maybe he was her special favorite one, and maybe some think that maybe Esau was the father's special son. We don't know, we're not told that, but we do know this, the mother got in on this, and this situation, and she helped Jacob prepare some meat and brought it in to his father Isaac, and he brought him that meat that was so delicious, and his father gave him the blessing of the firstborn. So now Jacob has kind of gotten over on his brother twice. And boy, that boy gets mad. Esau gets mad enough, he'd kill him. He's ready to kill him. Ready to kill his brother. And Esau had to flee for his life. Now, when a man's in that kind of situation, it's kind of hard to look on him as a very spiritual man, isn't it? But isn't it interesting that we find Jacob here in chapter 28, communion with God, God communing with him, gives us hope, doesn't it? When we realize that what wretched sinners we are and how rebellious we are in our lives from time to time, God does not forsake us. And so we see Jacob here, and it tells us in verse 11, it says, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. So he's tarrying in this place. He is totally unaware of the presence of God at this point, from all indication. And nevertheless, what we see him doing, you see, he takes some stones and makes a pillar out of it. I don't know whether you've ever had a pillar made out of stone or not. I've had one made out of wood, and I've slept on the ground a few times, and I remember once a few times I slept when I was in the army, I slept on using my helmet as my pillar. But I don't remember ever setting up a stone pillar. It's a rather uncomfortable kind of situation, I would think. Most of us like soft pillows, feather pillars, pillows and things of this nature. But anyway, but he lays down and he goes to sleep. And what God, then the Lord comes in on the scene. He has a dream. Now, every time you dream, I don't necessarily believe it's the Lord speaking to you, but I believe that maybe there are times whenever we dream that the Lord may be speaking to us. Now, I don't know what your experience has been. I've had some experiences in my life that where I've had dreams that I feel definitely that the Lord was in the dream and to a given extent. But nevertheless, I'm not here trying to impress you with that. But the point is, at this time, we do know that the Lord was in this dream. You see, in verse 12, it says, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. What a vision that must have been What an experience it must have been. Can you imagine seeing a ladder reaching all the way from the earth up to heaven? Man, that just kind of boggles your mind, doesn't it? But then to see the ladder there and then see angels going up and down it, ascending and descending. That big word simply means going up and down. Some's going up and some's coming down, or maybe they all go up and come down. It just tells us they're going up and down, which is suggesting to us that God is going to make some way that heaven will be able, there can be a means of access from this earth to heaven. That the way to heaven is open, and God is going to open the way to heaven. And what Jacob sees, he sees a ladder. We know they have this song that we sing, we're climbing Jacob's ladder to the sky. The songwriter missed the truth of this. You're not going to climb Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder is not for you to climb. Jacob didn't climb the ladder. The angels of God were ascending. They were going up the ladder. And we're not going to climb the ladder. That ladder is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there's a picture that we have there in Genesis chapter 28. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a means of access from this earth to heaven. And there's only one means of access from this earth to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I often say to people, God is very narrow-minded. He has only provided one way of salvation for sinners. There's only one Savior that He has ever sent to this world. There's only one means of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There was only one ladder that Jacob saw. He didn't see a group of ladders. And so here's this ladder going from reaching all the way up to heaven. And so here he is. He's at, later on, he will say that this is the house of God. The house of God. This is the dwelling place of God. Well, where does God dwell today? Well, we come to the New Testament and we find that the Word of God, you remember in Acts chapter 20, where the apostle Paul is calls for the elders of the Ephesian elders, and he says, take heed unto yourselves and unto the church of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, that you feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Or as Darby translates that, which He hath purchased with the blood of His own. And we read also in Ephesians chapter 5 how the Apostle Paul is writing and saying to the church at Ephesus there, he says that husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And Hebrews chapter 3 tells us that we are the house of God. The believers, you see, the believers are the church, the believers is, this is the church. The church is not this building that we're in. The church is the believers that meet here and gather here to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we gather together, and so here's God dwelling with us. And what a tremendous privilege it is to know that we are the dwelling place of God Himself, that God wants to live in your heart and in your life and in mine. We sing that song sometimes, How Big Is God? He's big enough to fill the universe, but He's small enough to live within our hearts. What a God that we have. And Jacob is being introduced to Him out here in this place, which he later on calls it by the name Bethel, which means the house of God. And he is being introduced to Him at this particular time. And so he finds that this place, it's a place of rest. He sleeps and he is able to rest. And did not the Lord Jesus Christ say to us, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The weary man wants rest. The heavy laden man wants rest. And there may be some in this room tonight who have been laboring under the difficulties of sin, and you have the burden of sin upon you. Even as John Bunyan would say in Pilgrim's Progress, he said that there is this weight upon him that he said it would have surely landed me in hell. The weight of sin was so great upon his shoulders until he realized that he was not able to bear it, and he didn't want to bear it any longer. And so the Lord says, You come to me and I'll give you rest. So if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, He's offering you rest. It was also a place of revelation. In that dream, the Lord is revealing Himself to him. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world. That no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath revealed Him. He has manifested Him to this world. We beheld His glory, John says, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it is also a place of reverence because he sees the Lord is there. But it is also a place of blessing, a place of richness. You'll notice what God tells him here. You see, it's interesting how many times, as you read through this passage, notice how many times the word behold is given to us. Behold. In other words, you pay attention to what is being said. You listen. You look at what is being said. And he says, Behold, the Lord stood above it. And then he says, and as he begins to speak to him, he says, Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. So he's saying you're going to have a fruitful life. You're going to have a life of fruitfulness. Isn't that wonderful to know that we can have a fruitful life for God in this world? How sad it is for men and women to live their lives in absolute poverty spiritually. I probably told you of this young, the man who was lived in our community years ago, and I was visiting him in his home, and he was an old man at that time. He's about my age now, so I'm getting old, and so he was an old man, and he said, he looked at me, he said, Charles, he says, I've lived in this community all my life. He says, I have done nothing for this community. I have done nothing for the church. My life has been an absolute waste. How sad. And as far as I know, he died that way. An absolute waste. But God says to Jacob, you're going to have a fruitful life. Your seed are going to inherit this land. You're going to have generations coming from you. And so, and he goes on to say, in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Not only is there, you're going to have fruitfulness, but there's going to be safety. You're going to be preserved. And how good it is to know that, as the Apostle Paul right into the Colossians said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's what they call paradoxical language, isn't it? You're dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead and alive all at the same time. Well, you that are not saved tonight, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. And those of us who are saved, we're dead to sin, but we are alive to Jesus Christ. Where do you sit this evening? This ladder that reaches from earth to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is going to take you to heaven. He's willing to take you there. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in the house of God? Do you belong to the house of God? Do you belong to the church of the living God? Which Paul writes to Timothy and says is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you're here without Christ, it would be a good night to turn to him, trust him. Even as Jacob has this revelation to his heart, and the next morning you remember, what does he do? He goes and he takes that pillar, that pillow, and makes a pillar. He sets it up as a memorial and pours oil on it, the Spirit of God, as a testimony to the revelation of God to his life. Won't you trust the Savior this evening and allow the Spirit of God to infuse your life, to baptize you into the body of Christ? Let us pray. Our Father and God, we're thankful this evening for your word. How good it is that we see this man of old who was running for his life, but there you interceded in his behalf and there you intercepted him. And how thankful we are that in our lives too, that we recognize that you have intercepted us as we were running from you as well. Move upon the hearts of any in this room who have never trusted the Savior, that they may seek to know thee and come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. As we're dismissed and go over to the outside there where the food is being prepared, we give thee thanks for it. We're thankful for the hands that have prepared it. We're thankful for thy gracious hand from which it has come. We receive it with thanksgiving in the name of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.